You're Robert, you're Scott.
Oh, Scott, yes, ma'am.
All right, lay it on us.
Thank you, Chair Harlan, and council members, as always, it's great to, honored to have the time to come before you. And I know you have a full agenda, so I'll do my best to be expeditious. We just wanted to share briefly our experience this summer so far with this year's ADP difficulties, very real. And I think that Lacey told me that she put this presentation in the books. So just some slides, I'll just go through, I'll try to go through these quickly and expeditiously, and then obviously open it up to any questions that you might have about our experience and impact. And as I heard the chair mention already, it sounds like there may be some things that the council's working on that we're not aware of as it relates to the ADP, so it would be great to know what we can do and to support anything, obviously, as we want to develop oil and gas production on the Osage Nation mineral state. So just apologize, this is restating the obvious, but obviously drilling and completing new wells in Osage County is essential if we're going to try to replace declining production and reserves. I think that goes to the sustainability of royalties that are paid to the shareholders, as well as the operators' ability to maintain personnel and maintain operations in Osage County, because as our production declines, we obviously have to make adjustments. We can't deploy capital back in the county, which means we're just constantly having to withdraw, and our abilities continue to be depleted. The inability to drill obviously also impacts new leases and drilling commitments that we make both to the OMC and to our partners. So that's something that we're struggling with, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Our experience, as well as Mark Short, as it relates to leases that we bought in the last lease sale. So this ADB, out of all the regulations and everything we're dealing with, it's clear that the most significant impact on our ability to drill right now is the American Bering Deep. If you look at the second slide, what I've done is drawn a polygon here that covers pretty much, I think it's a little more than a third of the county now. Within this polygon, we have a large area with positive ADB surveys. And in this area, you have some of your most active operators. We operate more than 50,000 acres within this polygon. We also have people like Mark Short, Jones and Buck, a number of very active operators that operate in this area that are trying to drill wells. And this year we've had more positives than ever before. Our expert, our biologist, is encountering a significantly higher percentage of positive surveys, and I'll talk a bit more about that, than he's seen before. We're seeing ADBs in areas not previously seen. So the area is expanding. We're starting to see this area where we get positive tests expanding. I'm probably saying things you've already heard. The other issue is that mitigation credits, as we talked about, have a significant impact on the economics, and our ability to economically justify a well is significantly hindered if we have to buy mitigation credits. However, mitigation credits currently aren't even available. The banks don't have credits available for purchase. The ones that they're trying to get approved, they've already sold. They've already taken deposits and reserved them for other big projects, whether it's highways, pipelines, wind farms, those type of things. So when we encounter a positive survey, we don't even have the option to justify it. We don't have the option to go buy a credit.
Councilman Waller?
I just want to inject one thing. Wind farms got a category exclusion here. So that's incorrect.
Okay, that's good. And I heard her say that you all might be looking at a category exclusion for oil and gas drilling too, which would be awesome.
We are. I'd like to call the working man, but they keep telling me I can't.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to talk about that. So, I guess for us, what we've heard is that there's really no options for producers. I mean, even if we can afford the mitigation credits and justify them economically, they're not available. The next slide I have for you is the indication, again, within that polygon. This is from our environmental expert, which works for Beacon. He's conducted this year 14 surveys within this polygon. And out of 14 surveys, only three were negative. All positive. So that's 89% of the surveys that he did in this area were positive for the presence of American burying beetles. And this impacted us and the companies that we're trying to work with to drill new wells. So whether us, Warrior, Spyglass, it impacted Short Oil Company. We talked to Mark Short. He, like us, he bought a lease in the last lease sale. He invested in getting the archaeological survey done, got the wells staked, and then performed the ADD survey only to get a positive result. And again, because there's no options, we're not able to drill to hold those leases. So he was impacted. Jones and Buck also had three surveys. We're not able to drill. Mission Creek, Rob Martin, and Larry Chin are just a few that we know of who have conducted surveys now that are not able to drill because they've encountered the American burying beetle. We estimate that from the people we've talked to that have been impacted, that at least 60 wells this fall and winter have been impacted that were planned to be drilled that are impacted by these positive surveys. We can't drill them. Next slide, just briefly, I'll go over the impact to us. Performance Energy, we had planned to drill 20 to 25 wells in this area on a package we call the Kyler Chambers and Ball. We have a partner, as you know, Warrior's been very active. They want to do a joint venture with us in this area, and unfortunately, because we encountered positive surveys, we can't even really represent that we can actually drill the well. So that's 20 to 25 wells we wanted to drill this fall and winter that we're not able to drill. We have three wells planned on the lease that we acquired in the last lease sale. We surveyed. In all these cases, we did archaeological surveys to try to get ahead of the curve. However, we're not going to be able to drill again because of the positive surveys. As you know, Spyglass, our drilling commitment there was 12 wells this year. Thankfully, one of the three tests that was negative was one of ours on the black line. So unfortunately, in a new area that we wanted to develop, we call it the Arcega. We have some good chat potential there. We have 16 wells we wanted to drill in that area this fall and winter. Both of those surveys came up positive, so we're not able to drill any of those 16 wells that we had planned there. We still believe we can meet our drilling commitment. We're going to conduct, while we have time left, we're going to conduct a couple more surveys. We're hoping we can get at least one more negative and find an area where we can get a couple more wells to meet our drilling commitment. We have eight in the area already that was negative, so we got eight that we can permit. We've got two that we've already drilled so far relative to the commitment, which leaves us two to find. Quickly, just moving on from there, early season positive ADD surveys have caused other operators to abandon their plans for drilling. We know at least two or three operators who received positive results who just abandoned their plans to drill. So the next slide just gives you an illustration of what I just told you about the drilling commitment that we have with Spyglass for you on the Brusonia concession. The 16 wells are illustrated there that we had planned. We did block surveys, archaeological surveys. We spent almost $50,000 doing block archaeological surveys so that you wouldn't have to go and try to do individual and have to wait the 30 days or 45 days or whatever for concurrence. We got ahead of it so that we could be more flexible. However, again, the ADD is the one thing we can't get past. There's just nothing we can do to fix that problem. So that illustrates that. So the last slide then is that, again, reiterate that we're extremely frustrated. We know that you are too. This has had a devastating impact on our plans for this year. We're excited because, we've worked through the regulatory issues. We're getting the AAs processed. We're getting permits. But we just can't get past this issue of the positive surveys for ABB. It's just killing our ability to go put our drill bit in the ground and drill wells. So what are we trying to do? I just want to share this with you briefly. As the chair mentioned, a categorical exclusion would be, I don't know how long that would take, but a categorical exclusion would be obviously a godsend. It would be wonderful if we could get that done and just go drill. One of the things that Scott has been pestering the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about unrelentingly was that why don't we reinstate the 1.2 acre threshold? Because a lot of the wells that we could drill would fit within that 1.2 acre threshold, which was arbitrarily, in our mind, arbitrarily just taken away at some point by the Tulsa office, while neighboring states still offer that threshold. And we've not been offered any good reason why. And we asked for the science. Last meeting we had, they just said, well, they determined that the science originally used to justify it was faulty. So therefore, since the science was faulty, they can no longer support the threshold. I have not heard any good answers as to why that science was faulty, or in their minds, why they feel it's faulty, but yet Arkansas or Kansas can still maintain the same threshold. So that would be one thing that would help us, or help cure the problem. Another is we've worked with our biology expert to draft up some minimization plans, some DMPs that maybe we could add. Say, okay, in the case where we have a positive survey, there's some things we can do. We can mow down the grass under 8 inches and wait 30 days for any beetles that are there to emerge and leave. There's other things that we can try to do to minimize the potential impact, but yet we don't have anything from the Fish and Wildlife saying that would be approved or would be appropriate in their mind. And so that may be an option. We can encourage the BIA to submit those to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and see if they can get some kind of concurrence as to whether those minimization efforts could be utilized. That would be better than what we have now. It would still be difficult because, as you'd have to have at least 30 days. You'd have to mow the grass, and you'd have to do your minimization work and wait for 30 days. It would have to be during the active season. And then you'd have to maintain that whenever the grass was growing until you did your ground disturbing activity. So it has its logistical issues. Finally, we've been, my understanding, I'm not by no means no expert on this, but my understanding is that get the right support from BIA officials, maybe higher up than in the office here at Wahuska, that if the BIA determined that there was a small enough potential impact on the species by approving the permit, then they could still approve the permit. However, I do understand that they would be taking that liability upon themselves if they approve a permit without getting some kind of concurrence from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. But my understanding is that might be an option if it were supported from the director level maybe or higher. I'm not sure about that. So basically that's what we wanted to share with you. We want to look for any options. Can we help? Is there any pressure that can be applied due to the significant impact? I think it's, as you mentioned, everywhere else in the state, you can go drill a well and get a permit in a week. We can go to Arkansas and you can drill as long as you don't disturb more than 3 acres. You can go up to Kansas. It's really an unfair impact economically on Osage County, on Osage Mineral State, because it's, as Bill, we were talking to Bill, we know the gas production continues to decline, oil production continues to decline, and we're frustrated because we want to go drill wells. We have interest, as you know, with the higher oil prices, and people giving us capital to drill more wells, but now we just, we're frustrated with our inability to do anything about the ABB. So my last question was, are there any options that we are unaware of? Can we support you? We're just opening up ourselves to the council to share our results, our effort, whatever we're trying to do.
Let me thank you for coming to us today and talking to us firsthand about your experience. Let me also, as the chair, assure you that when we were in Washington, D.C. on the 27th of July, 25 days after we were sworn in, that we took that to the Secretary of the Interior's departments, to his lead counsel. We were given positive sort of reinforcement that we could get this handled. We also went to the BIA acting director. We were given positive reinforcement. We could get the ABB under control and handled in a way that we could get production back on track. This past Tuesday, We were at the DOI meeting in Oklahoma City where I brought up the ABB to John Tsuda during my testimony. And the very first thing out of his mouth was, we don't need Fish and Wildlife. Well, I hadn't seen Robin Phillips, but I sort of pointed over my shoulder and I said, then tell our superintendent that, because we're being blocked by that. He did indicate that he would entertain a meeting with us. I think that one of the things that we're going to attempt to do is invite those federal officials here and actually host a listening session so they can hear how it's affecting us, how it's affecting producers, which in turn affects us. And so we will try to keep producers aware of what we're doing on that front, but I have already prepared the letter to Mr. DeVito to invite him to come here for a listening session. Councilman Rebar.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Could you give us your authorization to utilize this presentation?
Sure.
To share with Washington?
Absolutely. And we talked to Mr. Short, we talked to Mark, who told me he'd be talking to you today, and he said after he gave us his permission to share with you his frustration as well, his experience with history. He had, some new production around the airport that he wanted to take care of and couldn't because of the same meeting.
Councilman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. I do appreciate the four of you going and the word of your what I'm hearing is going to be our chair. Ms. Gray. And then to add on to what the chair said at the meeting this Tuesday, the DOI restructuring, they did mention CADEX, that they've been kicking that on a high level of the Bureau, which I was also pleased to hear. And then while our chair was making the comments, I just happened to slip back and chat with our superintendent, and she seemed okay with possibly. We need to bring the Fish and Wildlife up here and make this conversation happen. So I think on all angles, you know, you might be here at the right time with Mr. Rebar, grab that presentation, put it under these people that are going to make these decisions, and hopefully we can mitigate. But I'm liking what I'm hearing.
We're going to move as quickly as we can. Councilwoman
Fleming. I would like to ask Mr. You mentioned that the 1.2-acre special board, whatever it was, that in Arkansas, they still have a 3-acre exemption and maybe another state or two.
Yes.
Can we find that information on the website? There is, and the reason I'm asking, and this might be where I can get some easy support from you, there is, in the Endangered Species Act, there is a paragraph that says that the federal government cannot burden tribes with regulations that are more burdensome than others, like other states. I don't think it says states, but I just see this as we are being unduly burdened when all around us, others don't have those burdens. So I need to know what...
Normally, so that's exactly what Jonah Book will not let us get off. For a year, we put Ms. Waller and four of the council members together with the superintendent and Ed Streeter was there. We had everybody in that room, and Jonah Book will not... Nobody will tell us, first of all, who's the person that got rid of the 1.2 acres? And why is all other six states that have the beetle present, all of them have exemptions, and we can't have it. And specifically, this county—you're being picked out of everything because that's exactly what the Tulsa office is doing.
Well, what we have decided, sir, is to not deal with the Tulsa office. We're going to go higher than them, and that's what we did when we were in D.C., and that's what we're going to continue to do. We have an open door invitation to communicate, and we're going to take advantage of that. They're going to know who the Osage are.
That 1.2 acres would save us from drilling. And
categorical exclusion is a godsend for everybody.
Exactly.
That's what we're going
it's
for.
It's kind of tough for leverage, though. One of the scary things we're worried about, because under the current environmental assessment, you've got to deal with the roads and your flow lines and electric, and 1.2 acres is really tight. We use air rigs in this northeast part. We figured out how to do it even up at Fort. So we're doing a real good job keeping locations tight, but everything associated with that 1-2 is going to be real close for Ben and the BIA then, versus the 3 acres that other people have. It could come, but at least 1.2 is something they can reinstitute and we can get started.
Right. If I might add, that is different from the categorical exclusion. And we need to talk to John Cole. We need to have her in here. We need to have her explain exactly why we're being treated differently and explain who decided 1.2 acres was unacceptable and our producers couldn't use that anymore. And demand that we be treated fairly under the Endangered Species Act.
I don't believe we're going to get anywhere at the local level. I think we're going to stay going higher where we've gotten positive reinforcement back. The local level, we've tried that. It didn't work. So we're going to go higher.
We just wanted you to know what we're
doing. And we appreciate it.
Out of the mud and the blood and trying to make this work for everybody. And it ties into the gas world. The 25 wells, we're talking about a 50,000 foot per well. And the reason that OCHO's production came down, it can't drill. My hands are tied. And the whole county is in the same place. Without more wells, your natural gas is going to fall at 30% a year. And that's just where we're headed, guys. And I can't solve the problem without the ability to drill.
We're going to move as fast as we can because we need you to drill. Let me, Councilman Red Eagle has a question.
Yeah, Bob and Sir Scott. I've been around for 4 years. I've got that guy something. When they do a survey, does the government pay for that, or do you all get fined for something? Something's wrong, or who pays for all this?
Well, we pay for the survey. We pay to have a survey conducted, and then, but we don't have the opportunity to, I guess. I mean, if we did ground disturbing activity without a permit, then obviously we could potentially be fined or have to pay for an incidental take. But obviously, we can't get a permit anyway, so we wouldn't. So I mean, basically, we pay for the surveys and we pay for the environmental work to get a permit, and up to the point where we can't get it, basically.
Very well. This will be this last question and move on. Councilwoman Foreman.
Are these all gas wells? That you know, the 60.
The oil wells with associated gas.
Okay.
All of them.
And you have like an expected initial production on each of them.
Absolutely.
That might be helpful to come up with an impact. You could provide that to me.
Sure. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. We certainly appreciate it, and we will utilize your PowerPoint.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If I can extend on it or help you, just let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming today. Next up, we have Candy Creek, Derek Blackshear, bug study discussion. Sir, I know you're carrying a big notebook. We're on a tight frame. If you could condense whatever's in that notebook down to a few minutes, I'd appreciate it.
Duly noted.
Thank you, sir.
And how about one page?
I love that.
One page handout.
She'll hand it out behind you here.
Oh, sorry.
And you may proceed, sir.
Thank you.
Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Derek Blackshear. I am an engineer, and I have an environmental company based out of Tulsa. I'm here representing Candy Creek Crushers. And to piggyback off of the previous discussion of your business, I think I'm going to modify what's on the one page. You also have a handout in your binder for today, and simply say, Candy Creek Crusher, you're familiar with the Beetle survey, EAs, things like that, so I'm going to skip some of that background and intro, but simply say, Candy Creek Crusher, in their EA, inserted by the BIA, has a requirement to conduct beetle surveys twice a year if they have suitable habitat. We're simply asking to get that requirement revised so that it is consistent with the federal guidelines that you have a survey requirement when you are going to do a disturbance of potential habitat. That language is not in there. And then in the PA now that's been approved by the BIA, they are also enforcing it as if we require two surveys a year. The crusher has disturbed the land they are going to. They haven't disturbed new ground in several years and do not have any plans to disturb new potential habitat for several more. We contend the survey is unnecessary anyway by federal rule, but because it's in the EA, it was approved, the BIA is enforcing it. We'd like your agreement and concurrence on that matter. I'll entertain any questions.
What was the federal?
Councilman Foreman?
Oh, I'm sorry. well, you said that you were requesting that we ask to revise the
requirements.
This EA requirement to a federal.
To comply with the federal requirements.
Okay.
Because right now, as written, it does not. And as it would be enforced.
And is that like in the Code of Federal Regulations?
I'm sorry.
Is it in the Code of Federal Regulations? This federal requirement?
It's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Regulations.
Oh.
So I feel like we're piling on a little bit here from our earlier discussion. Like,
so I believe what our guest is asking for is whether the council will support him in asking for the BIA, the Fish and Wildlife, the local agencies to make the requirements comply with federal law instead of the overburdensome law that they have. I would entertain a motion on that.
I'll make a motion.
Whoa. Everybody's in agreement there. I'll take the motion from Councilwoman Gray that we will make contact for that to be to comply with federal law. Take the second from Councilman Redcorn. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed signify by nay. The ayes have it unanimously, sir. We will be submitting a letter on behalf of the quarry, all quarries.
Thank you, Chair.
Councilman Waller has a question.
Does this resolution, why don't we just go ahead and go with our producer, our quarries, and anything else we come up with? Is there any way we can expand that out? What you're running into is its inherent federal function. We're the only one to trigger. See, no one else has that. And what they're wanting us to do is exactly that, but they're going to ask for a waiver that we take over the responsibility when this bug goes away, which is not even a native species in the United States. Thank you.
I think the letter will be broad enough to cover all industry.
Thank you.
And that's how I'll write it.
And
so.
Specifically, our EA or BIA is approved?
Yes. Yes.
As the example.
Thank you.
That moves us to the next issue, which is BGI is asking for a concession extension. Stephen McNamara, is that you, sir?
Thank you, Chair. It's a pleasure to be back in front of the, my first time in front of this council, but a pleasure to be back at the Husker. I have a handout I last night, late around 4 o'clock.
Is it
on the
interview?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I didn't know whether it's because of the length of time it may be to your report, but I'm an oil and gas attorney for those who don't know me already in Tulsa. Somehow I got onto this asking for an extension list. So here I am. I've represented BGI before. Jim Bernard, the field foreman for BGI is here. We had a funeral today, so others that wanted to be here are not able to be here. This is not on the road. I'm
going
to put this over here. BGI has an existing resolution 3-140 to extend their concession until February 19th, 2019. Coming up on the end, we make commitments at that time to drill one vertical well by February of 18 and two vertical wells by February of 19. Oil prices were quite a bit lower at the time we were doing this. In part B there, BGI has performed. It's drilled three wells in 17 in fulfillment of that. It's got permits in hand to drill two additional wells and plans to drill those wells in the very near future. the Sunset 1-7 well. We got a permit about more than 30 days ago. We were waiting under another new regulation that once the permit is issued, we have to wait to see if someone files an objection to the issuance of the permit. So we have a 30-day waiting period. That has expired on the Sunset 1, and as a consequence, we've contacted the drilling contractor. We're going to move in as soon as the drilling rig becomes available. The Sunset 7-3 well, as I understand it, we're still within that 30-day period with those wells, so a total of 5 wells. If I might just add, the Sunset 7-1, we went through the permitting process twice because we had a beaver survey issue, and the beaver, when we got the permission on the beaver survey, we ran out of time and we had to resurvey. So just to we concur in the other presentations. We've delivered all of the 3D seismic that the company has shot. We seem to be sending it to Larry Shannonbrook with the Department of the Interior in Lakewood, Colorado. We've had some confusion. Will and I talked about that. Want to make sure every time I come up here is, are you giving us your seismic? And the answer is yes. But I want you to know who we're giving it to, because sometimes there's some confusion about who we give it to. BGI operates 30 wells that have been drilled under this concession. This concession, for those who don't know, is as far north as you can go on the Kansas border. So BGI is now requesting an extension for 4 more years. Their desire is to reprocess the entire seismic data that they got from the Salt Creek area, which covers about 28 square miles. The old seismic, which we provided to you, is proving to be inaccurate. Once you drill the well and get the log and try to figure out. So it's like working a puzzle. So they want to reprocess that. And all data and information will be shared. And BGI wants to drill an additional 8 wells within the concession in exchange for the extension with the concept that if we drill more than 2 wells per year, that would be a credit for going forward. If I might add, the infrastructure in this area is pretty much non-existent for those who know the area. So there are no lease roads, there's no electrical infrastructure, there's no saltwater disposal wells. So as BGI develops these areas, they are building infrastructure into that, which I think even if BGI were to go away, that would be a benefit to the tribe, because anyone else that wants to come along will have electrical infrastructure to build off of. So that's our pitch, and appreciate
it. Any questions of any of the council members? Councilman Yates.
This reprocessing of your seismic, does that entail reshooting?
I don't believe so. I believe it entails taking the existing data and putting it in a more powerful computer and applying different techniques. And you're asking me to go into an area where I'm very uncomfortable, but the smart guys with the computers will be doing it in-house, not out in the field.
Is that 3D seismic?
Please?
3D seismic?
It was 3D seismic, yes, sir. The reprocessing will be reprocessing 3D seismic.
So what are you offering for the extension? You're asking for 4 years with no money? Promise of drilling some new wells, is that your pitch?
Yes, sir. 8 additional wells. The commitment to drill 8 additional wells.
2 wells per year?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just so I understand,
yes, sir,
what you're offering.
Okay. Councilman Red Eagle?
Yes, sir. On the past session, you've been here for a while, you know, and what's your production? Are they all margin wells, probably? What's your production for each, all the wells that you have in concession?
Average production per day, sir?
Yes, sir.
Our average is right around 120 right now.
120 barrels a day? From the 30 wells?
Yeah, from, that's everything.
Any further questions? Any motions to make out of this? Asking for an extension. Got a motion from?
A motion to table till Wednesday so we can maybe think about this a little more.
Got a motion from Councilman Yates to table this to the 15th and a second from Councilman Redcorn. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The matter's tabled until our next meeting. We'll let you know then, sir.
Thank you.
You certainly may. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is Diamond 3S 214 lease waiver. Sir, introduce yourself to us.
Kevin Harper, Environmental. Thank you. We have a salt water remediation project for Diamond 3S on the Bluestead Ranch. Part of our remediation option is to dig and haul a small portion of that and then treat the rest of it. What I proposed, and I know has been approved by the Osage Nation, is to do that. What I'm going to need is about 611 cubic yards of material to backfill our dig and haul portion. We'll be constructing a pond below our site to catch any leachate if we want out into Daniel Run Creek. I was hoping to get the material for our backfill from our pond site. Spoke to Melissa Curry, she got me the deal. Bill got me here. Asking for a 214 sand soil permit waiver due to the small quantity of soil needed. I don't know exactly what that entails or.
Councilman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. I think we do have a standing resolution of certain activities amount to something under X. I'm going to say what it is. We have a chairperson ready to sign it.
In lieu of exercising under the resolution, I would entertain a motion today to approve of this. It is to benefit the Bluestem Ranch. Got a motion from Councilman Waller, second from Councilman Reedvard. I'm doing roll call on this one.
I think it's 5,000 cubic yards is the threshold that Councilman Redcorn is speaking to.
Councilman Waller.
This is going to come up on something else that I'd like to get in Wednesday. We're going to do an MOU. We've already made all the changes and held it up this long. Same product. It's something that the nations, we'd like to ask you to go ahead and waive that.
Okay. Let's go ahead and let's take care of that on Wednesday, but let's vote on this. Ready to go forward? Yeah. Roll call vote.
Councilwoman Foreman?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gray?
Yes.
Chair Harlan?
Yes.
Councilman Redcorn?
Yes.
Councilman Redigal?
Yes.
Councilman Rebar?
Yes.
Councilman Waller?
Yes.
Councilman Yates?
Yes.
Unanimous agreement by the Minerals Council to waive, and we will get the paperwork started.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for appearing today.
Yes.
Not having seen a copy of that resolution, I'm hesitant to exercise on it without seeing what it says, so I'm following the roll call vote. Councilman Redcorn.
Just a quick comment, I'm sorry. Just to keep lot projects moving quickly, we gave Chair that ability. That way the company's not waiting for 20 days.
Yeah. And I think if we can pull that resolution for me to see, like I say, having never seen it, I'm hesitant. I just assume we did it as a council, so we'll pull that resolution and see where it comes out on that. What that, whatever that X amount was. Next thing we have is public comment meeting with regard to the CFR regulations. This is a conversation I had with Councilwoman Foreman, so I think I can probably get us through it a little faster if I just say what we talked about was. We were invited to participate in the rewriting of the CFR regs by, if you'll recall, the Solicitor General who was here. Yes. I mean, the solicitor who was here from DC. But we don't want them to back out of that. So we would like to at this point have some type of public comment and invite those parties who are stakeholders. So I think we would like to get moving on that fairly quickly so we can get this done, but we want to hear from people. Councilman Redcorn.
I'd entertain Mr. Rebar. He did such a great job in 15 as our witness to ensure his comment. And I believe he's formally interested in doing follow that.
Okay.
Since you're
making an open form comment, yeah. And what we would do is we would post it as a council.
Okay.
And if you want to delegate our statements to come from those two, I think that's an appropriate motion.
We were successful in 2015 in federal court based on the witness testimony of Mr. Rebar. So
what I'm looking for now is a motion to get to work on setting up the forum. I've got Councilwoman Foreman. Is that a motion?
Yes.
Second from Councilwoman Gray. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Councilman Yates.
When this forum you're setting up, and who's the parties and where are you going to have it?
Well, we will host it. We will also testify. We'll invite the feds to be here, whether they want to just sit and listen or what they want to do. We'll invite producers to be here. We'll invite shareholders to be here.
Very good. To be announced?
Yeah, to be announced. I think we should set a committee to do it. And I think Councilman Redcorn probably be making a motion here in just a minute for two people to be on that committee, so for sure.
We could put it at the, I don't know.
I think we want to move quicker than that.
Yeah, sure. Why don't we just earmark it for maybe, it's going to take since about 45 days to do it, or 30, in September?
Let's go ahead and vote on having the meeting first. We got a motion and a second.
Question, please.
All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There are no opposed. That way we're going to have the... Now, Councilman Redcorn, you have a motion to create that committee.
Yes, I make a motion to create the committee ensuring Ms. Foreman and Mr. Rebar are on that committee.
I have a second?
Second.
Second from Councilman Waller. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's signify your favor to that motion by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. For those council members who wish to join that committee, it'll be co-chaired by Councilman Rebar and Councilwoman Foreman. Please let them know, and then if you will let the chair know that you've joined that committee, that would be wonderful. And if we could get started on that, time is of the essence in getting this comment period held, this listening session of sorts held, so that we can get busy writing CFRs. Councilman Redcorn.
Wordsmithing here. I want to ensure these two individuals are on that committee. Nothing coming back out that they're not. My resolution was.
Are you agreeing to be on it?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
And Paul, are you?
Co-chair.
Okay, so okay. Co-chairing it. We voted on it, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're on. You're good.
Sure.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the scholarship award announcements. Councilman Reddigo, can you tell us who those award winners selected were?
Stand up.
Sir.
I'd say in the very beginning, this was created around 2012. With a known for myself, we thought it was a good idea to bring some students, help some students out in their universities they're going to with their field related to the oil and gas industry. And that as of this day, I don't think anybody has returned. I ask anybody to return any student return without employment or anything like that. I don't think that. That's the main point of everything. All this right here is for them to come back, take our jobs, you know, maybe be in the council someday. And, we're all going to be around here forever. I'd like to announce the recipients, Councilman Yates and the council lady Foreman are there. We had some discussion on it, some disagreements, but most of the discussion. Ray Edwards of Jinx, Oklahoma, was the first recipient. He's reinstated. He's been here before. Jinx, Oklahoma will be attending the University of Tulsa as a senior. He anticipates to graduate in 2019 and with a degree in environmental engineering. This is a renewal award for Tyler Disadori. Oklahoma will be attending Oklahoma State State University as a freshman. Anticipate to graduate in 2023 with a degree in environmental engineering. The third one is Gabriel Kaleo of Scottsdale, Oklahoma. Will be attending the University of Oklahoma as a junior. Anticipates to graduate in 2020 with a degree in industrial engineering. This is a renewal award for Kaleo also. And Linnea Curley of Martinville, Oklahoma, will be attending the University of Oklahoma as a senior. She's on schedule to graduate in 2019 with a degree in Native American Studies and a minor in environmental sustainability. And I wish all of them very, very much success and good luck. Hopefully they come back to help us out.
I think we're going to need to have a motion to approve by Councilman Yates, second by Councilman Waller. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Let's do all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. All four will be awarded and we will ensure the checks are cut to them. Thank you, Councilman Redding, for that. Your committee did a fine job. The next issue on the agenda is the rock quarry lease in APAC. This comes to me to advise you of the meeting I had with the superintendent. Was enlightening, I'll say that. As I said, former Councilwoman Gray also attended the meeting with me. You know, women, we all like to travel in sets, so that's how we went. The issue with APAC, they have had a quarry lease since 1964, 54 years. The superintendent advised us that they have not been paying the royalties they were required to pay. They are not the only quarry who is not paying the royalties. The superintendent then advised and shared copies of letters with us where they had been noticed by the BIA, APAC had, to come into compliance or the lease was going to be terminated. And these letters started in 2017. Their deadline was July the 30th of this year. We met with her on the 2nd. They were still not in compliance. My response to that was go out there and put a lock on that gate and hold that equipment in there today. I want to follow up with a letter to the superintendent, one advising that we expect and demand the BIA to collect the damages that are due to us on their non-payment of royalties. The second thing would be to ask the BIA to, well, would demand the BIA go put a lien on the property of the quarry. The third thing is that if they are unsuccessful in collecting, that they file suit on behalf of us, that they're the trustee of our estate. They should have been collecting this all along. Now we asked for them to go back to 1964. We all know that that's probably not going to happen because of the settlement, but you know what? We're entitled to that. There may be other options legally. What I'm looking for from the council is authority to proceed with correspondence to the superintendent, for authority for the chair to proceed with correspondence to the got a motion from Councilman Waller, a second from Councilwoman Gray for the chair to proceed on that path. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. I will be shooting out a letter. I will copy each of the council members on those letters. Next thing on the agenda is the approval of expenditure for the Culture Innovations. That is our group who's coming to do the strategic planning. I sent this out via email, said please tell me about your objections. I got none. What I got was a handful of favorable results. We're looking for now to approve the expenditure, go ahead and enter into the summary of work product with them. So I'd entertain a motion to approve that expenditure.
Chairman.
Yes.
And one comment.
You know.
That we probably need to add, if this is a contract we're approving, that it's subject to Osage law and that it would require them to comply with Osage.
SBA process.
And we can add that to the motion as we approve it, that it will, Osage Law will mandate the terms.
So moved.
Got a motion from Councilman Waller, a second from Councilman Red Eagle. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. I'll sign that along with, I'll have Mr. Burton review it and make sure that it does have the paragraph, or we will add the paragraph. I'm quite certain that the founders of this organization will not have an issue with that. They are coming to us as Osage Tribal members. So we have asked for them to help us and work our strategic meeting. Everybody needs to remember that's on our calendars for 2 weeks from now. This is a reminder. I'll try to remember to remind everybody again on Wednesday. We have a contract that has come to us from Osage Casino. This is for us to utilize during our strategic planning, that we've decided to do it over at the Skytook Casino because they have the space and because it's one of our own properties, or at least one of the nation's own properties. I'm looking for a motion to approve the contract. Got a motion from Councilwoman Gray, a second from Councilman Waller. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, signify by nay. The ayes have it. We will approve that. I'll sign that contract. The next thing is the budget modification. This is what Councilwoman Gray was talking to us about in her committee reports, and what Lacey mentioned about how we closed out some of those accounts, like election account, and we moved it to other line items. Councilwoman Gray, is there more you'd like to add to that?
No.
And this is just to, we do the budget modification so that our accountant over at the Nation can put the money in budget line items where we need it, for instance, office equipment. So, do I have a motion to approve the budget modification?
So moved.
Got a motion from Councilman Waller, a second from Councilwoman Foreman. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. The modification will be signed. We have consultation with the DOI. I kind of mentioned that in my chair report. Every one of the council members were there except for Councilman Red Eagle, who was unable to be with us that day. I'd like to respond to them in writing. So I'm looking for authorization from the council to provide the written comments on that.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion from Councilman Yates, a second from Councilwoman Gray. Before we vote on that, what I would like to say is that if you have specific ideas you'd like in there, please email me. Otherwise, it'll be along the lines of what we're responding to the federal offices about. And the fact that we do think, I think one and all of us do think it's just another level of bureaucracy for tribes. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. The chair will begin working on the letter. Buffalo Data Services contract. This is Councilwoman Gray. This is the DEMDXYZ.
This is the no extension contract. We have some funds that are, I think it's a little under $3,000 that are in there. It fades away on September 31st. This is just so we can finish out using those services. The other is an agreement with IHS.
That's correct.
But some of that language in there, this is exactly why we sent this over to our attorney. He looked at it. Do you have any comments with the British language of the House of Commons?
There's a couple on both the Buffalo contract and on the, is that, the scope of work and all that's fine. We just need to make sure that we can't waive sovereign immunity, and in both contracts, they require waivers, although not stating specifically, they appear to be waivers, so we can't do that. And then the second thing is that the Buffalo contracts are governed by the state of Oklahoma or Arkansas. I think we need to subject them to our law.
Or Arkansas, yeah.
Oh, we're going back.
And then the other one is
totally. I'm going to table it till next week.
Table it.
We'd just like to table it to our next meeting, give our attorney time to work out the language on the contract.
Motion from Councilwoman Gray to table the contract. Second from Councilman Waller. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any nays? The ayes have it, that'll go on the 15th. And Mr. Bergman, would you please communicate to Ms. Gray the changes and CC the chair?
I've already got it drafted.
Very well. Next thing is the approval of the OMC remodel contract. I understand that
Chad
was here to talk about your contract. Has that been given to Mr. Bergman?
Yes, it has. I emailed it over to you.
Yeah, and I think it uses the standard contract issued right by the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
So I
is prepared to be approved today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that in the book?
There's a copy in this handout along with my bio and
wonderful. We'll let her pass them out real quick. After everybody has a moment to look at it, I don't entertain a motion or questions.
So
got a motion from Councilman Waller. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Councilwoman Gray. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in. Let's do a roll call because it is a contract.
Yeah.
Roll call vote.
Councilwoman Gray?
Yes.
Chair Harlan?
Yes.
Councilman Redcorn?
No.
Councilman Redigal?
Yes.
Councilman Rebar?
Yes.
Councilman Waller?
Yes.
Councilman Yates?
Yes.
Councilwoman Corman?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you
very
much, sir.
Can I make a comment?
You may.
This money that is used for this was already allocated out of the remodel. Not that we're remodeling. It's remodeling from the carpet and everything that was done from the damage of the mold.
That's correct.
$50,000 was set aside for this. This is not new money. That this is what we've got part of from the nation to fix this, our flooring and. So just so you know, part of this will be some of the new carpet throughout. That
and this came through committee?
This came through committee. It was recommended out.
Ma'am?
You may.
The treasurer has confirmed that we can use that $50,000 not only for repairs and replacement of existing items that are attached to the building, but also for furnishings, which there is another line item in the budget going forward. So we can actually speed up this process and get use of furniture in our offices.
You would be my hero.
With that money. And then follow up with the other $25,000 that was placed in the budget, phase two in that contract.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you, sir. The motion has passed. The chair will sign the contract.
Please.
Thank you.
Councilman Waller's tar is sitting on the floor in his office. The next thing on the agenda is the authorization for the chair to submit a letter to the superintendent.
So moved.
Got a motion from Councilman Waller. Let me finish. Second from Councilman Red Eagle. This is specific to gas reporting, and Councilwoman Foreman has a list of things she would like the chair to ask the superintendent on the gas reporting. I have a motion and a second. Any questions, comments? No discussion. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. The chair will work with Councilwoman Foreman to submit that letter. That brings us to executive session. It is also now 10 to 1. I think it's a good time to take a break. I'm anticipating that the executive session will not take near as long as the last one we had. And then we will come out and take any necessary votes. And at that time, we'll hear from one other individual, and then we'll move to public comments. So I need a motion to enter into executive.
Motion.
Motion from Councilman Waller, second from Councilman Redcorn. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're going to enter executive, but we're going to take a break.
We don't have any word to eat. Can we just grab something and come right back in?
Yes. And if we can, let's take a few minute break to get your place.